morning, listeners. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Renee Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. I'm here every week to educate you about dogs. If you're a dog lover, this is a place to be every Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30. My guest this morning is Barbara Handelman. Barbara has trained her own service dogs. She's a certified dog behavior consultant and is the author of a beautifully illustrated handbook about canine body language. Her book contains 1,000 stunning pictures, not just of dogs, but of wolves, foxes, and coyotes. In her book, she explains what you're seeing in these magnificent photos as to each animal's intent as he or she is interacting with its own species. What we must clearly understand from reading her book is that dogs communicate all the time to each other. It's crucial that we learn what they're saying because they communicate with us using the same body language. Try as we might, we will never be able to teach dogs to communicate by speaking English. Before we talk to Barbara, please listen for a moment to what my services are as a professional dog trainer in the South Jersey area. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Renee Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. We have Barbara Handelman on the line now. Good morning and Happy New Year, Barbara.
Good morning and Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. Our subject for today is dog parks, and I have to admit I'm not exactly a huge fan of them for several reasons. How do you feel about them?
Well, I think probably quite similarly to how you feel. I think they're a very mixed blessing. Some dog parks are well designed and well monitored, and others seem to be a free-for-all where people go to socialize and the dogs are left to their own devices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the thing that worries me a lot is that people go to the dog parks, take their dogs there, and then they use that time to socialize among each other. And I just think that a lot of problems develop when that happens. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
And what sort of things can happen when people aren't paying to their dogs at the dog park?
Well, if people aren't paying attention, bodies, slamming, and other rough forms of dog play can escalate into either severe aggression or outright aggressive retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
Because not all dogs play the same way, and not all dogs understand the other dog's play style.
Mm-hmm.
And if dogs don't speak dogs well themselves, they may fail to back off when a dog that they're trying to entice to play is either offended or uncomfortable. People need to be alert at all times to their own dog's comfort level and their own dog's arousal level, whether their dog is on the verge of retaliating for something.
Okay. You mentioned arousal levels. Aren't there certain breeds who tend to rev up faster than others?
I think I would prefer not to breed categorize.
Okay.
For example, I've known some pit bulls who who, with well-chosen play partners, can play very well with other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
There are some dogs that are intensely predatory about everything they do.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Border Collies.
Right.
Have a very predatory style of play, which mm-hmm. is very connected to their herding instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Not all dogs are comfortable with being stared at.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I think it's very hard to generalize. Dogs, individual breeds and breed clusters have similar play styles. But my collie could play as well with a pit bull as she could with a border collie.
Mm-hmm.
It depends very much on your individual dog and how much they socialize with a variety of breeds. My young German Shepherd played with a Beagle and a Jack Russell this weekend. and it was a very interesting combination. They liked to chase him, and he was faster than the two of them put together.
Mm-hmm.
But they also liked to duck under and hide and then bark at him, which for him aroused a lot of prey drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a constant matter of the Beagle and the Jack Russell Terrier, same person, keeping an eye on how they were feeling about this interaction, as well as my watching mate responses.
Okay. I think that something that you mentioned is very important, and I'd like to just double back for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Many people, when they get a puppy, and I'll ask them, have you socialized your puppy with other puppies in different breeds? And many of them don't know that that's an important thing to do. They'll say, well, we have one other dog, and he plays really, really well with that dog, and they think that that's enough. And it's not. The dog has to know that there are dogs that look different than he, than the housemate, and look different than the puppies that he grew up with, and big dogs, little dogs, if it's possible. And so the dog, that's good socialization. And so if the dog is not well socialized, they tend to lose their social skills, and then they don't act appropriately in a group environment. And I think that's when a lot of problems also happen.
Right. People need to make a distinction between socializing and socialization.
Oh, that's a great distinction.
Socializing means they have the interaction with another in-home dog
mm-hmm.
and an occasional neighbor's dog or visitor's dog. Those are good, but they're very definitely not enough.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the rule of many. And the critical socialization period for dogs is between the ages of 3 and 13 weeks.
3 and 13 weeks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, puppies need to experience a wide range of sounds, a wide range of foot surfaces, a wide range of humans of all ages
mm-hmm.
and levels of health and robustness, as well as infirmity.
Mm-hmm.
They need to meet dogs of all sizes and shapes and ages.
Mm-hmm.
And be exposed to a lot of experiences
mm-hmm.
Before they reach their intense fear period.
Mm-hmm.
Which also means it has to be done carefully.
Correct.
Dog is afraid of loud noises.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to flood them with testing your smoke alarm or playing the drums in front of them.
Right.
You want to gradually get them accustomed to mm-hmm. new noises and mm-hmm. And let them explore the source of those sounds.
Right. Well, I want to go back to the dog park, because there's so many people that take their dogs there, and it just scares me a little bit. So to avoid any dog fights, can you help us recognize some of the more subtle body language that might occur between two dogs who aren't getting along at the dog park?
Well, there are lots of them. The more subtle ones are dogs giving what are called distance increasing signals.
Mm-hmm.
They're turning their heads away, they're turning their bodies away, they're using objects or people as shields. They may have their hackles raised, or be doing a warning snarl on as things start to escalate, as their discomfort level starts escalating, they may do what's called air snapping, snapping at the other dog but not making contact.
Right.
And one of the more subtle forms of discomfort with tension levels at the dog park is seen in the form of what's called splitting. Some dogs are masters at splitting and will in fact cruise the dog park looking for other dogs who are tense and have rising levels of tension between them, and what they will do is maneuver themselves so that they are splitting in between. They are literally putting their bodies between the two dogs whose tension has been mounting.
I'm visualizing a border collie doing that.
Well, I have to say that splitting happens for many reasons. Some dogs split because they want to isolate a particular dog for their exclusive attention.
Mm-hmm.
That can be well accepted or not.
Mm-hmm.
Not all dogs appreciate splitting, and the splitting dog may get attacked.
Really?
Going in between. My colleague Pam, who is the ultimate neutral dog, didn't really play in large groups of dogs. He would patrol, and any time he could see tension increasing between dogs, he was just masterfully just kind of slide his body in between those two dogs and give them a moment to break the tension.
Isn't that wonderful?
And it's a skill that people can learn from their dogs. If they're at the dog park and they see that two dogs are becoming tense with each other, they can split. They can walk in between the two dogs and actually do a body block so that they put themselves between their dog and the other dog and then call their dog away. If they don't have a strong enough reach call the dog away from a distance, splitting and body blocking is a good way to provide the separation so that you can connect with your dog.
Okay. Very interesting. So here's the other thing that I notice when I'm visiting at a dog park. There are a lot of fights that happen when a new dog enters the play area because it's kind of like a crowd scene. So what advice would you give to people about keeping their own dog safe during that exciting time?
Well, first of all, I recommend that people visit a dog park without their dog at least 3 times. So that they kind of get the sense of the lay of the land, how responsive and responsible other dog handlers are, and know the rules of the dog park, and also whether the dog park is supervised either by staff or volunteers. Before I even ventured to take my dog through the gates of the dog park, I would want to know those things. A well-designed dog park has what are called it's sort of like an airlock. It's a double entry gate.
Yes.
Where the new dog coming in can not quite be in the park yet and watch with you what's going on. If you don't like the play that's going on, where people aren't paying attention and a bunch of dogs rush at your dog, turn around and go out. Don't even try to enter.
Okay.
If people are attentive and they call their dogs to them, the park design is such that you can bring your dog in and have them meet and greet one-on-one, great. But a new dog being mobbed after the dogs who have been there for a while have established sort of the rules of engagement for that particular group. It's a recipe for instant trouble.
Yeah.
Nobody likes to be mobbed, and especially dogs.
Right.
And the design of the dog park should be set up to remind people not to congregate near the entrance and exit gates. There should be no benches in that area. there should be some shrubbery that on that the dogs can use for a shield or shelter.
Mm-hmm.
But people shouldn't congregate in stationary groups in a dog park, because it encourages other dogs, their dog and other dogs, to congregate
mm-hmm.
in a group, and that's when problems are most likely to arise.
Right. There's a dog park actually in the township where I do this radio program. It's a very large dog park. It's very well laid out. I approved of that. But when I did go to research the park, and I did notice this double gate system where, you know, you could bring your dog into an area but not yet into the dog park, I thought that was a great idea. But what I noticed was that the level of the dirt underneath that gated area was getting less and less, so the gates were looking like they were higher and higher, and dogs were able to get through. So this is an unsupervised dog park, and I mentioned to somebody needs to fill that so that the dogs can't get through. I mean, that's the dangerous part.
Right. There are lots of design defects or lack of forethought in design, and that's why I say, go and watch before you ever take your dog there.
Yeah.
Reading the rules of the dog park,
mm-hmm.
and to know what people are at least being instructed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the most critical design features is there a separate small dog section to the dog park?
Right.
I
agree, that's important.
Little dogs should not be playing with big dogs in a large, semi-supervised way.
Mm-hmm.
Little dogs can get badly injured by a playful paw coming down. I mean, my young shepherd weighs 83 pounds and has teeth the size of a lion.
Mm-hmm.
And if he brought that down on the back of Papillon,
mm-hmm.
He could break its back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Without ever intending any harm.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I have to really just use good sense, and the thing is, I honestly have never heard of a dog park that at some time didn't have an incident. I guess it's a given. It just is a given. Anytime you have a group situation like that, with people coming and going and not everybody being savvy about proper behavior at a dog park, you have to just be very watchful. You can think you're at a good place, and then somebody comes in that should never have brought a dog there. And you just have to always be watching your dog and supervising and protecting.
Absolutely. It's kind of the equivalent of defensive driving.
Yeah.
I know that I have all-wheel drive on my vehicle and studded snow tires and on 50 years' experience of driving in winter conditions.
Mm.
But I also know that there are lots of people out there on the road whose cars are not well equipped, they're not experienced.
Right.
And I don't worry about me in my car.
Mm-hmm.
I worry about what the other guy's doing and how capable they are.
Correct.
And I can have absolute trust and confidence in my dog.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that he's safe in a dog park.
Okay.
I still prefer, as I did this past weekend, to set up play dates with dogs that I know, with responsible dog owners that I know,
mm-hmm.
and meet in a controlled setting where there isn't so much stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that I brought my camera, and there's a huge difference between watching the dog interact with a lens in front of you and watching the dog carefully for negative interaction.
Mm-hmm.
I would never do that if there wasn't someone else there
right. Also
watching.
Good. All right. So my next question is, how do you feel about somebody bringing their sexually intact dog to a dog park?
Well, I don't think it's a problem with bitches as long as you know what their heat cycle is and don't bring them when they're on the verge of in a full heat or dust coming out of heat. You know, most dogs only come into season every 6 months, depending on their behavior and external signs let you know what's going on. They absolutely should not go to a dog park.
And how long, if you noted that your dog was going into a heat cycle, how long should you expect that cycle to last?
I think that varies from dog to dog.
Really?
I think it, and I'm not going to pretend I actually know the answer to that question because I've only in my life had one unneutered bitch.
Okay.
But that's a good question for your veterinarian. And to check that out if you frequent dog parks and you want to know when it's safe to dog there.
Good.
I would not take most unneutered dogs in this country, an unneutered male, to dog parks. Because we don't have a good social history of socializing our dogs with other dogs and doing it well and doing it consistently and not doing it for a few weeks when they're puppies and then keeping them at home except when they go to the dog park once a month.
Okay.
I collect photographs from both Holland and Italy of dogs playing in dog parks and am always amazed how many of those males are unneutered and are playing appropriately with others. It says a lot about how those countries, making broad generalizations here, but they are, those dogs are doing fine.
Okay, good.
But that indicates what the owners have done with those dogs. It's not just inherent in the dog, it's definitely temperament.
Okay.
They have to have the social history to be able to handle that level of interaction. I threw a dog party with about 30 dogs.
Really?
Yes. It was for the purpose of filming interaction.
I see.
I had several people there who were there strictly for the purpose of supervising and keeping things safe. And there was, in that entire group, only one unneutered male. And he was a royal pain. He was something anybody he stacked up with. Was not backing off. He was not reading signals from other dogs. And it is true that any type of arousal, whether it's just the excitement of being in a new situation with a lot of new dogs, or being around a dog whose behavior is inappropriate, can translate into sexual arousal. And this dog, was a show dog, had been used as a stud dog, and that was his only way of relating to other dogs. Did not belong in a dog park, and probably would never go there because, his owner was very protective of his show quality.
Right.
But he wanted scratches on his face. His behavior was not appropriate in
this
situation.
Okay. Barbara, my last question, because we only have about a minute left, you can just briefly, some dogs are very toy possessive, and so do you recommend that people bring toys to a dog park to play ball with their dogs, or should they be giving their dogs treats at that time?
I would have treats, but I would not have them obvious on you. I would have them in a deep pocket and use them selectively with your dog when there aren't a lot of other dogs around.
Okay.
The question about toys, it depends on your dog. I would certainly not bring his most favorite toy to the dog park. If he's ho-hum about tennis balls and isn't going to be possessive of tennis balls, they're probably okay. Another thing you want to check out about your dog park before you ever go there with your dog, are there toys there? Is that on their list of rules that can come. And certainly people should not be eating in a dog park because it can draw other dogs congregate around them. And if a dog has research starting issues, having people who are out and around who's going to incite and regarding issues.
Right, I agree. Barbara, thank you so much for being such a valuable asset to us. I hope a lot of people listened here today because a lot of dogs do go to dog parks, and I know in this area. I would hope that in a matter of hours, at least by tomorrow, you and I hopefully will set a date for you to come back, and we'll talk more about body language. I don't think that we can talk about it too much. And I have to just thank you so much because you're not only educating my listeners, you're helping to educate me too.
Well, you're very welcome, Marie, and I look forward to talking with you again.
All right, darling. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, so before we close for the day, I have been asked to announce that Camden County College in Blackwood, New Jersey, offers a 12-week course in animal-assisted therapy and activities. This course trains students in the techniques of bringing pets to visitors, to visit seniors and children and hospitals and nursing homes where people can benefit from the healing touch of animals. Classes at Camden County College begin on Saturday morning, January 30th. So to register, contact Camden County College Continuing Education Office at 856-374-4955 or contact them on the web at www.camdencc.edu/ce. So again, that's 856-374-4955 or on the web at www.camdencc.edu/ce. So next week, let me tell you a little bit about what we're doing. I hope that you'll listen in again. We're going to talk to another trainer and behavior consultant. Her name is Jennifer Shryock. She's a trainer from North Carolina whose specialty is the topic of keeping children and dogs safe when they're around each other. Unfortunately, many children of all ages, including infants, wind up in the emergency room with various degrees of bite injuries, especially on the face. So I really want you to come back next week and learn how to prevent these injuries from ever happening to your children or anybody's children. We also have to remember that when kids and dogs are together, we have to protect the dogs also. I can't tell you how many dogs lose their homes because people aren't supervising when their dogs and kids are together. So have a great day and have a great week and go put a sweater on your dogs and get them out for a walk today. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com.